covering you from your LB1 to your taxi squad. This is IDP Nation.
Manning back, pumps, he fires to the far side. It's intercepted and running into the touchdown.
Your home for the best in IDP and draft coverage.
Daniel has time in the pocket, steps up, and he's going to be hit from the side, and he's going down. That's a sack.
Here are the hosts of IDP Nation, Hollywood and Kyle B.
Welcome back to IDP Nation. I'm your host, Hollywood Totten, and it's officially Black Monday. Before we get into that, my apologies for not having the content the last few months. Work got in the way. We moved into a new warehouse. So now that we've got that taken care of, it's a new year. We should be back on track. And as I said, it's Black Monday in the NFL. Already a number of coaches have been fired, probably more on the way. Arthur Smith, he was the very first one. 2 minutes after midnight, he was canned, right? After three seasons in Atlanta, 7-10 all three seasons with the eighth pick overall, three seasons, 21-30 overall, 41.2 win percentage, just isn't going to get it done. I know fantasy managers are rejoicing because they have Bijan and they have Tyler Allgeier and Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Jesse Bates now on defense and some other pieces. But fantasy managers are hopeful somebody will land there that can really utilize these pieces. I didn't think Arthur Smith really done a horrible job. He wanted to see what he had in Desmond Ridder, and we found out real quickly that was nothing. No offense to Ridder. He's just not an NFL quality quarterback. I also think that I was kind of shocked. I thought he would get one more year. You know, Ridder didn't work. Now you're going to have to draft a QB or hit free agency with a QB. And try it then. I thought he would get a fourth year, but Arthur Blank decided to pull the plug on this immediately and get this process started. So he is out after three seasons, he being Arthur Smith, 21-30 on his early coaching career. It'll be interesting to see who they bring in. Like I said, there's a lot of weapons in Atlanta. You're going to have the eighth overall pick again. It'll just be interesting to see. Do they go with another young guy, unproven guy, like they did with Arthur Smith? Do they go with an older coach, kind of the recycle bin, and get a proven coach or something like that? But I think the main thing is they want somebody that can utilize those weapons and turn this thing around. And no matter who the coach is, quarterback's going to have to be the first priority with whoever that is. Up next was Ron Rivera for the Washington Commanders. I think we all kind of expected this to be the case. You know, he's coached 13 years in this league, 9 with Carolina, 4 with Washington. Really seemed to be okay in Washington. His career record was, well, 26-40-1. The wheels kind of fell off this year. So he was 22-27-1 before the season. But he had a 7-9, a 7-10, an 8-8-1. And then 4-13 this year, and it just never clicked. You know, they gave Sam Howell a shot at QB. He's been some mixed reviews. I kind of like Howell. I don't know if they are going to want to look at a possible upgrade overhaul. I guess that would depend on who the new coach is, right? And we don't know that yet. There has been talk of them bringing in a new general manager, you know, because they got new ownership, which is what everybody expected for this to happen. They have the number two overall pick. Do you want to go back and take Drake May or Caleb Williams if he falls or whoever? You got some pieces in Washington too, right? You've got Brian Robinson. You've got Terry McLaurin. Like I said, you got Sam Howe if you wish. You've got some pieces on defense with De'Ron Payne and Cody Barton and stuff like that. So I think it's going to be a complete overhaul. But I think Washington wants to get their front office set first, right? The general manager, then the coach, kind of all that. Like I said, Ron Rivera, 26-40-1 in four seasons at Washington, which is 39.6 win percentage, which was a little less than Arthur Smith, surprisingly. But we'll see. You know, with the new ownership, that was bound to happen in Washington. We all knew that was coming. It was not a question of if, but when. So we'll have to wait and see on that. So that's two coaching changes that's already been hammered here. There's a few more. That are possibilities. Well, I guess the main one would be Las Vegas, right? They fired Josh McDaniels after a 3-5 start. They brought in interim head coach Antonio Pierce, who I really loved as a player, right? He wasn't a superstar, but he knew how to get the job done, right? 9 games at the interim, 5-4, so which is a 55.6 win percentage. So you kind of got to like that, right? I haven't heard which way Mark Davis will go with this organization. If you're asking the team, I think they all want Pierce. I think fans in Las Vegas would like to have Pierce. I think fans in general around the NFL would like to see Antonio Pierce get the shot in Las Vegas. He's only 45, right? So he's still on the younger side. But the main thing for me is that team wants to play for him. You can see it. It's completely different than what Josh McDaniels was there, right? I mean, Pierce is he's a rev them up and let them run through a wall type coach, and those players respond to that. I mean, clearly, I mean, they started 3-5 and then went 5-4 down the stretch after McDaniels was fired. So, you know, had Pierce been the head coach to start the season, maybe they make the playoffs. I mean, they made a late push, just not good enough, but they made a late push for it. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do there. They have a GM that they have to kind of put in place too. And I think that's a thing with a lot of these teams you'll see. They want to put GMs and a coach together and stuff like that. So we'll have to see what happens in Las Vegas as well. Another one, and like I said, there's a few of these, right? So another one would be Carolina. You know, they let Frank Reich go and Chris Tabor go. It's just been a mess in Carolina right now. I mean, they just, it's been a mess, right? So they finished the season 2-15, which is not good. They moved up last year, traded up to number one to take Bryce Young with the number one overall spot. So seemingly they have their quarterback, right? They still have Andy Dalton as the backup, but Bryce Young, if you're making that move, then you kind of have to see what you have in him. And he didn't play horrible, despite the record, but 2,800 yards passing, 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions wasn't good, but they need talent around him in Carolina. So it'll be interesting to see what David Tepper does, and that's the owner of Carolina, who he will bring in to try to turn this thing around. Like I said, you seemingly have your quarterback in place, which is huge. You know, you've got Chuba Hubbard, you've got a Miles Sanders, you've got Adam Thielen, who was your best receiver last year or this year, 103 catches, 1,014 yards, 4 touchdowns. You drafted Jonathan Mingo. You could use some other offensive weapons. And it depends on what you're going to do. And you have some on defense too, right? You have Derek Brown, Frankie Louvu, Brian Burns, Deion Jones was there. You know, you got Jeremy Chinn. So they've got some pieces, but this isn't going to be a quick fix. So it'll be interesting to see, again, who do they bring into? They bring in a, you know, Frank Reich was a recycled coach. Do they look for a younger, aspiring, up-and-coming coach to take over? Or, you know, will they kind of go back to the recycle bin and look for some stability and proven success in a coach there? So, just saw it go across the TV that it looks like New Orleans is going to retain Allen, 9-8. They had a shot at the playoffs, couldn't quite get the job done there. So it looks like he'll be back. It looks like that Pete Carroll's going to be back in Seattle, or at least that's his thought process. He said he's planning on being back. I always loved Pete Carroll. Thought he was one of the better coaches to play for. My Titans, Tennessee Titans. I have no idea what is going to happen here. Tannehill's not going to be back. It's kind of looking like Derrick Henry won't be back, even though he wants to be back with the team. I guess it all comes down to money, right? So we'll see what they do there. But we're talking about Black Monday. Mike Vrabel. There's no confirmation that he is going to be back. It's presumed that he will, but who knows? I guess it really comes down to what Amy Adams Strunk has in mind. If she feels Vrabel is the right way to get this team going. He's had success here before, took us to the playoffs, winning record. So we'll see. And there's some good pieces here, probably losing some, but we'll have to see what comes out of that. Another coaching firing was the Los Angeles Chargers, right? So they got rid of Brandon Staley after a 5-9 start. The wheels just kind of fell off for them. So Staley in 3 years as the head coach – just couldn't quite get it done, right? 24-24, 9-8 in 21, 10-7 in 22. So he was taking the necessary right steps, right? And then boom, 2023 hit and the wheels fell off this thing. So, you know, 5-9, your quarterback gets hurt, you know, you've got some injuries with Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen and some of your other players, and it just never really came together, right? I mean, 24-24 is not bad, but 500 with that talent, especially on defense with Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack and Derwin James, you were expected to challenge Kansas City for the division title, and they had a down year this year. So that very well could have happened had things went right for the Chargers. So he's out. So you've currently got the Chargers, the Falcons, the Commanders, the Panthers. That's four teams right there that are definitely looking for a new head coach. I talked about the Titans possibly needing one if they don't stay with Vrabel. And there's some other ones. You know, we kind of talked about Chicago, maybe. Well, I didn't talk about them. What are they going to do with Matt Eberflus? It's not been decided yet. And I think this coaching decision is probably as important of one for the Bears in their history, right? So let's take a look, quick look at Matt Eberflus, if I could talk, pardon me. So in two seasons, he's 10-24. Was 3-14 last year. Made the improvement this year to 7-10. Did they see enough out of him to make the jump, right? You know, they were 20th in offensive yards, 18th in points scored, second in rushing yards, which kind of was their big thing with Fields and Herbert and Foreman and those guys. So that's kind of where they made their hay at. But they were 27th in passing offensive yards, which, you know, what do you do? Do you believe in Fields? And here's why it's so important. Okay, so whether or not they stick with Eberflus or not is kind of mute. But if they decide to move on from him, they need to get this done quickly. They need to find their coaching candidate quickly as possible if they decide to move on, because here's why. You have to make a decision on Justin Fields. Is he your quarterback of the future or not? If not, then you need to try to move him, right? You're probably trying to trade him, get back something. If you feel that he is your quarterback, then you're sitting here at number one with your pick from the Panthers, and you have the number 9 overall pick. So you've got two of the top 10 picks with the top pick overall. So do you go after Caleb Williams? Do you go after Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr.? For me, if I think Justin Fields is the answer for my team at quarterback, if it's me and that's how I feel, then either A, you trade back from number one to a team that's wanting a QB, and you make them pay to get that pick. If they don't want to pay up, then I think you take Marvin Harrison Jr., best receiver in this class, put you another weapon with DJ Moore for Fields. That defense looked fairly well, so I don't think you waste a high pick there, because then you got another pick at 9, right? And then depending on who trades up with you, you've probably got, you know, another pick here in the top 10, maybe. Just depends. But my main point is whether Eberflus stays or they let him go and bring in a new coaching staff, they have to act quickly. It's imperative because there's decisions to be made. A, is Justin Fields your quarterback of the future? B, what are you taking with these two draft picks, or what are you doing with them, or whatever. So, and why you say, well, the draft ain't till April. Folks, this is January, February, March, April, 4 months. Basically 4 months. That's not a lot of time for a new coach or coaching staff to come in, evaluate players, put together a draft board, and try to decide what to do with these picks. That's not a lot of time. Even if you keep Eberflus, then I think you want to see a plan from him. Hey, are we moving forward with Fields? Do we trade the number one pick? Do we take Caleb Williams anyway? What they do this offseason with the coaching staff first is just so crucial to them. So for me, I think it's going to be huge what the Bears are doing. I think the Bears are going in the right direction, right? They drafted Darnell Wright from my Tennessee Vols, who has been huge for their offensive line. You know, they made the trade before the trade deadline with Washington Commanders and brought in Montez Sweat, who in his short time there led the team at sacks. So clearly they're making the correct decisions to go in the right direction, right? They improved 4 wins from last year. You know, if you improve 4 wins this next year, you're 11-6. So, and that probably puts you in contention for a division title. So, really, really important on what they're going to do. As far as the coaching staff, like I said, there's 5 current vacancies right now. We don't know if there'll be more. Like I said, Washington, Carolina, Atlanta, the Chargers, and so we'll see. There could be another opening in New England. There's no word coming out of there yet. As to what to do here, I mean, it would be – I don't even know how you replace Bill Belichick, right? He has spent 24 years in New England as the head coach and never had a record worse than the one he's had this season. His first year in New England, he was 5-11. And from there, he won the Super Bowl the next year. And then we know how it went from there. It's 10 wins, 10 wins, 12 wins, 13 wins, you know, 16-0, 266 and 121 in his career in New England, 68.7 win percentage. So who knows if they will, what Mr. Kraft will do. Will he stick with Bill and let him do his thing and hopes he can and trust him that he can get this turned around? The last 4 years have not been so kind. One winning season in the last 4. So, you know, once Brady left, they were 12-4, and then after that, it kind of fell off. So what is going to happen there remains to be seen. So not fired yet, but again, remains to be seen. Seems like he still wants to coach. You know how he is. You know, he's saying he's business as usual, and that's I guess that's kind of how you have to approach things until somebody says you're fired, pack your stuff. Then you still have a job, right? So it'll be interesting to see there what they do in what's considered probably one of, if not the greatest head coaches of all time. So current head coaching vacancy recap: Carolina 2-15, Washington 4-13, the Chargers were 5-12, Atlanta was 7-10, and the Raiders are 8-9. Those are your five current open coaching vacancies. That we have. Like I said, New England could be one. Tennessee could be one. I think the Giants could be one. Not heard anything on that, but I think that's a possibility. I don't think Arizona's changing. They had a new coach this year. So, and I think everybody else is sort of safe, right? I know Sean Payton, they just brought him in. So he's probably got another year or two, but he's going to have to make a move. I think he showed some improvement, especially second half of the season. So it remains to be seen what happens. New Orleans is going to stick with Dennis Allen. Pete Carroll's still in Seattle for now. And then we start getting into these playoff teams, which I've not heard anything about. So those are the five. I think New England, Tennessee would be the next two that I'm hearing. Possibly they could move on. I think you have to put the Giants in that mix. I think Saleh gets a pass until he can get Rodgers back next year. And if he does show an improvement next year, I think he's on the hot seat. But that's a way further down the road than we're wanting to look right now. We're talking about immediate. And I think you have to get this stuff done quick as you can. Now, the thing with coaching things is you can't Sorry, short pause, had to see what my dog was barking about, but I'll edit this out. So, yeah, coaching searches, Black Monday is officially underway. I have to see what's going on there. And the thing with these coaching searches is you're kind of limited right now, right? We just finished the regular season, so you really can't talk to coaches on a team. Until the divisional rounds is over, right? That's the way the NFL's got set up. So we've got a couple weeks before some of these offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, other head coaches. Weeks to say, hey, I want to talk to so-and-so or I want to interview and so-and-so. And they could put their name in a hat, and then once that comes up, then you can do it. You can have those sit-downs with them. Now, you can talk with coaches that are not on a team. You can talk with college coaches. Jim Harbaugh has been a big name. He's, by the way, he's got a huge game tonight that everybody should tune in and watch as the Wolverines play Washington for the national championship. So you can talk to them. Interview them and see how they fit. So it'll be interesting to see. Sorry, I had to sneeze. So it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out over the course of the next couple weeks. I think the teams that have vacancies are going to explore every possibility. You got new ownership in Washington, which is going to be huge. And the thing is, some of these teams have a lot of money, salary cap for free agency, and Washington's one of them. And they've been a team that's shown, whether you like their owner or not, Daniel Snyder or whoever, but they have shown that when they've had money and they've had the proper coaches in place, they can be contenders. And I think Washington can be a contender. They just have to get their coaching staff in place, decide on what they're going to do at quarterback, and some other things. But anytime new ownership comes in, it's pretty much a clean sweep and a rebuild. So, you know, kind of like they did in Denver, right? You know, they brought in Sean Payton and, you know, the Waltons family brought, you know, ownership group brought in, you know, who they wanted. So we'll have to see how it goes. But enough on the Black Monday stuff. I'll keep you updated as I see here. But those, like I said, those are the five. Las Vegas, Chargers, Carolina, Atlanta, and then Washington. So just have to see how that goes. So some other stuff going on. We saw – I've got a great buy low stock for you, right? So and this one come late yesterday, kind of popped up in the Eagles-Giants game. And we all know the Giants kind of throttled Philadelphia. Just kind of really took it to them. But there's rookie safety Sidney Brown suffered an injury, and it appears that it's a torn ACL. If that's the case, he's probably going to be out for a while. Probably because it's so late, he probably will risk being ready for the start of the 24 season. I would think the PUP list is a very likely scenario. Now, I know Rodgers has reset the narrative on ACLs and tears and stuff like that, but we'll have to see what the case is for Brown. Kind of started the season off a little slow, right? And then really picked it up down the stretch and was one of Philadelphia's better players, I felt, down the stretch, despite them losing some of the, you know, their bigger games. So for Brown, I think with him being hurt, his value's way down now, right? Which for me makes this the perfect opportunity to go and put him on your rosters. Because, like I said, the time frame with this injury was unfortunate. He's going to miss all the off-season stuff. He's probably going to be questionable or PUP list bound to start the season. So fantasy managers are going to want to have a player that on their rosters they can rock and roll with. So for me, I'm kind of swooping in here, right? I already had Brown in a couple of places, but I'm going to go out and throw some offers and see what I can get, right? He's hurt. He's damaged goods right now. So that's in your favor. You're going to get him at a discount. Plus, it's a draft season now or getting close to it because all the fantasy leagues are done other than the playoff leagues and some stuff like that. But now, fantasy managers are going to begin to turn the rosters over, see what they can do. Sidney Brown is a great IDP buy low stock. He played 14 games, made six starts, 45 tackles. 32 of those were solos, which is a 71.1% solo rate, which is amazing. I think 70 is around just above average. You know, that's, I think 65 to 70 is average. I think 70 to 75 is above average. And of course, if you can get 75 or 80, you're hitting in that elite territory. But for a rookie, 71.1, that's really good. One TFL, one forced fumble, one interception that he returned 99 yards for a touchdown, and three pass deflections. So he does a little bit of everything for him. Only missed 6.3 of his tackles. So his tackle rate was 6.3, which is good, especially for a rookie. You just don't see that. Anything under 10 is good. Anything under 5 is top tier. So he's already flirting with that top tier bracket as far as missed tackles go. And I think there's a huge room for improvement on all these numbers, right? Played 14 games, 6 starts, but he only played 335 defensive snaps, which was 35%. He played 220 special team snaps, which was 59%. So he was, the majority of his play came on special teams, which is okay. But I think with all the issues that Philadelphia is having right now, I think we're going to see a completely different kind of a defensive unit for them next year. And I think Brown, once he gets healthy and gets back on the field, I think he's going to be a big part of that. Super talented, loved him coming out of college, had him very high on my rankings. You know, he was a star for Illinois. His twin brother plays, Chase plays for the Bengals. But yeah, I definitely think Sidney Brown is a player that you should go after right now. Like I said, you're going to have to be patient. If you're not going to be patient, then don't waste your time on this because you're just wasting a pick or whatever. You have to be patient with him. Stash him on your bench somewhere. Stash him on a taxi squad if he's still eligible. Heck, even stash him on your IR if it's deep enough. If it's not very deep, then maybe you stash him there until you need that spot, and then you kind of do some roster movement, you know, to help get him in the right place, you know. Maybe take him off IR and put him on taxi or stash him on bench, whatever you need to do. My point is you have options as to where to put him, stash him until he's back healthy. The key thing is you're going to have to be patient. You know, if you could do that, then I think your IDP portfolios are going to be huge. Will be upgraded hugely with this. Because it's going to be a lower investment for you. Like I said, you're going to get him at a discounted price, but the return on it is going to be outstanding. So Sidney Brown is definitely somebody that I'm after. Speaking of players that I'm kind of looking at, kind of a real quick IDP offseason stock market piece here. You know, I usually do the IDP stock market during the season. I try to give you pieces not only from week to week, but for the season or look ahead, you know. But I think now is a great time to move on some of these pieces. And some of these guys are not very big names. They're not your Roquan Smiths. They're not your Derwin Jameses. But they could be second, third, or even fourth tier guys that do really good and are a huge improvement for your rosters, right? He might be an LB3, but he could be an LB low end LB2 for your team or a great LB3 over what you've got. So just depends on the position who it is. So my first player is, and this is probably the biggest name on here, it's going to be Montez Sweat, right? We look at all the good things he did in Washington in his 4.5 years. He played 67 games with them. 35.5 sacks, 85 quarterback hits, 47 TFLs. Was having a really good season this year for them. Through the first 8 games, he had 6.5 sacks, which – as of yesterday, still led that team in sacks. So he was the Washington Commanders sack leader for 2023. They traded him to Chicago. He played 9 games there, had 6 sacks. He led them in sacks. He is the first person to lead 2 teams in the same season in sacks. So 12.5 sacks total on the year, 6.5 Washington, 6 for Chicago. And I think they found their pass rusher, right? They're trying to replace Khalil Mack and some of those guys. So, and he's young. So I really like, you know, they paid him. He's there for the next 4 or 5 years. They got some linebackers and safeties. They kind of need to get that bookend pass rusher with him. I know they have Gervin Dexter and some guys in the middle, but they need to get that other bookend to go with him, I think. So, yeah, I would check on him. Just do a price check. See what it would cost. You never know. Somebody might cut you a deal with him pretty cheap. And if that's the case, you know, if you can get him at a really good discount, then I'm taking. Another player that I'm looking at is Jermaine Pratt, linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals. Of course, they have Logan Wilson, and they have Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard up front, and they have these safeties. They've got a lot of good pieces, right? But Pratt has been that LB2 for them, but he's not been really an LB2 in fantasy. He's been more of an LB3 guy. But he's improved. He's played 5 years in Cincinnati and has improved each and every year. 76, 89, 91, 99, 118. His tackle numbers have went up every single season. You're seeing him be used a little bit more as a pass rusher the last couple of years. He's got 3 sacks in the past 2 years, where he had a half a sack in his first 3 years. So, you know, he's doing better there. He's doing better in coverage as well. 4 interceptions the past 2 years, 5 overall, 13 pass deflections. So I think as he's gotten more comfortable, familiar with his team and surroundings, the system, you're really starting to see him develop. Trade for him as an LB3. And he's going to outproduce that. If you trade for him as an LB2, I don't like the value as much or your odds, but if you can get him as your LB3 or LB4, you're winning, right? You're still. And I think that's how you got to kind of look at some of these things. But I really like what he's been doing. This year, he took it to another level, 89% of the snaps. Where last year was 76% was his career best. So, you know, they've increased his role, and with that has come the increased production, which I love. And he doesn't miss very many tackles. 8.4 as a rookie, 10.1 the next year. So he kind of went the wrong way. And then it started popping for him. 8.1, 4.8 in 2022, which puts him in elite category. Kind of dipped back down to 6.3. But if he could stay below 7.5, missed tackle rate, I love that for him. So, yeah, if you can get him as your LB3 or even LB4 for your team, I love that. Another one that I like, and I'm going to stay with the linebacker position. Excuse me, a Colt. Is EJ Speed for the Indianapolis Colts. I've liked him the last few years, but, man, there's been such a roadblock there with Zaire Franklin and Shaq Leonard. And Speed was your third, sometimes fourth linebacker on that team. But they – let Shaq Leonard go finally. Moved on from him. That gave EJ Speed the chance to move up, and he's took advantage of it, right? Full 16 games this year, missed one game, made 11 starts, but had a career best, 102 tackles, 78 solo, 12 TFLs, 1 sack, 4 pass deflections, 3 forced fumbles. So he's doing a little bit of everything for them. And I think he's only going to get better, right? Now, I do have some concerns with him over his missed tackle rate because it's 11.3%, which is, that's pretty high. You don't want anything over 10, right? So you want to stay below. You want to stay below that 10 mark. And so that's a little concerning. But considering the increased involvement, his role, you know, last year he played 314 snaps defensively, which was 28%. Because he's been mostly a special teams guy, right? So he goes from 314 and 28 last year to 728 defensive snaps this year, which is 66. Which is 66% of the defensive snaps. So quite the increase, over a 400 snap increase on defense. And he's still playing a lot of special teams. So I like that. So I'm hoping next year that he's a little more comfortable in the role as a starter, right? And I want to see that missed tackle rate come back down. Other than the missed tackle rate, I think he's perfect. And I think he's a perfect LB3, LB4 type player, right? We had seen glimpses of that last year when Leonard started getting hurt. And they let Speed come in and kind of fill that role for him. And I think they saw enough of him and were confident enough in him to say, hey, you know, we're going to let you go, Leonard, you know, kind of get away from his contract, get away from the injury concerns. So big play for EJ Speed. Love him as an LB3, LB4 top players. And not a huge name. So you can, when you're making trades and stuff like that, you're going to get him a lot cheaper than you are big names, but he's not that far off with his stats. And he, like I said, he does a lot of stuff for them. You know, tackles, forced fumbles, deflected passes. So interesting to see. I think with a full complement of years as a starter, he's going to be really good in 2024 for them. So let's look here. Another player that I really like. And this is going to be more of a play for you fantasy managers who play in position-specific leagues, right? And that's defensive end Denico Autry for the Tennessee Titans. What a year he had. And the reason I say that is because if you're in a league where you could play him as a defensive end, that's it, because that's where he really cranks it up, because he plays a lot on the inside too, right? He'll play next to Jeffrey Simmons, and you got Harold Landry, and you've got some of those other guys, Arden Key. So he's really playing interior defensive line, but if you could play him as a defensive end, that's where his max value is. And I said it, he had a career year this year. Not just with the Titans, but his whole time. This is his 10th year in the league. And he had a career best 50 tackles, which broke his former mark of 37, set back with the Colts in 2018. 30 solos, which broke the mark of 28, set in that same year. And 11 and a half sacks, his first double-digit sack season. He had 9 back in 2018 with the Colts, 9 in his first season with the Titans in 21, 8 last year, and then, boom, he took over this year with 11 and a half. So he's got 28 and a half sacks in 3 years with the Titans. They need that. I think he is just so good. But if you can get that 50-10 split tackle sacks out of him, and you can play him as a defensive end, I like it. And if you can play him as a defensive tackle, that's even better, because he does play some end. But, you know, I think in leagues where it just says DL and you can play either or, I think that kind of limits his value a little bit. So I want him more in position specific leagues, but yeah, he's just always kind of been a decent player. And I think this year he took it up a notch to that next level. So I think he's a really good defensive end /3. I think that's kind of where he's at. I think, you know, putting him with a Montez Sweat, if you had both of them, I think that's pretty solid. I would like to have another solid defensive end, you know, one of your top tier to go with Sweat, and then have Danico as your third guy. Now, that's really max value right there. So just a thought, you know, kind of staying with that position. And this is, and you're going to be like, this is a homer pick. What are you doing? You're crazy. But I'm going to go with Derek Barnett. Former Tennessee Vol, I know, la, la, la. Went to Philadelphia, did some things there for 7 years. Then he was released, right? And it didn't take too long, but he was picked up by the Houston Texans. And played 6 games for them, made 4 starts for them. And in those 6 games, he had 19 tackles, 8 for a loss, 11 quarterback hits, 2.5 sacks, a pass deflection. So he was there in a very short time frame and kind of picked it up and learned on the fly quickly. And I thought he was a perfect bookend and mentor to super rookie Will Anderson Jr., right? Just not eye-popping numbers, but I think a definite fit. Now, I'm sure it was a one-year deal. Would be interesting to see if they bring him back next year. But I think no matter whether he comes back or not, there'll be some interest in him next year, right? So, and he's one that's most people have either cut off their fantasy rosters or are looking to cut, get him as an add-in, worth the flyer. If you're kind of split on a trade, say, hey, give me Derek Barnett, throw him in, and we got a deal, right? It's a flyer pick. I think that's great. If you need defensive end help, it's worth the flyer. If it doesn't pan out, you can cut him and move on. You know, you didn't really lose anything. So those are the kind of options that I look for when I'm trying to upgrade my rosters. Again, I do have a little bias towards Barnett, but historically, he's been a good player. Has 24 career sacks. Had 5 as a rookie, 6.5 in his third year in Philadelphia. Then they kind of went away from him, right? Josh Sweat and all those guys. But Barnett is a good, solid player. Get him as your DN3-4 as a flyer. I like the value. He's going to put up some solid numbers as long as he's getting the starts and the reps. And sometimes a change of scenery, as we've all seen, can be a good thing for a player. And I think that was the case for Barnett here, right? I played 8 games this year for Philly, 3 tackles, 1 TFL. That's it. Played in 6 games in Houston, had 19 tackles, 8 TFLs, 11 quarterback hits, 2.5 sacks in the pass deflection. So you could see it all. There was a difference there. There's a motivation there. It kind of correlates. Not always, but it does. So, you know, we'll say, and you kind of look back at his play count, you know, last year he only played, well, he was hurt that year. But this year he only played 99 total snaps in 8 games for Philly. In 6 games for Houston, he came in and played 221. So 56% versus 20% of the snap count makes a huge difference, right? And in the past, he's been in that 60%+ range, you know, close to 70. So I think when he kind of gets that kind of volume, I think he's a productive player and one that you need to get on your rosters. And that about does it. That's just some names to look for, kind of watch out for this offseason. I think now's a good time to go and try to make a move, because a lot of fantasy managers are not diehards and crazy. You know, they like, you know, once the season's over, they like to take some time off, kind of decompress, kind of step back away from it. So before they do that, while football is still going, let's jump in there and make some offers, right? Hey, let's make some not game-changing, big-time wowing offers, but hey, let's jump in there and make a few little offers that can improve your roster now. Now, before these fantasy managers kind of, like I said, disappear to reset, decompress from it, and before we get into this draft season, right? Because here in a couple of weeks, draft season is, if not already, is going to be the major focus for the NFL and for fantasy managers. Fantasy managers are already starting to line up their boards. They're just waiting on these all-star games and combines and all this good stuff. It's just kind of weird because in years past, you know, people are like, oh, season's over, I'm done. And they just kind of fade away or disappear. And then they pop back up around draft time, and then they disappear and they pop back up around the season. They're trying to make moves. Me, myself, I'm looking at rosters all the time, every day, you know, not just for content. I'm looking at what are my weaknesses? What do I need to do? And I think now's a perfect opportunity because some fantasy managers are just so – I guess the word's burn out. You might get somebody for a little cheaper because maybe they're not thinking as clearly, you know. You go after a Derek Barnett or an Autry or a Speed or Pratt or even a Montez Sweat, right? Hey, what do you want for this? And maybe these guys have nothing to do with the trade that you're making. Maybe you're after a wide receiver, a tight end, quarterback, running back, whatever it is you're doing. And y'all are kind of haggling and be like, hey, throw in this player and I'll give you this. You know, just kind of work it. And you'd be surprised how more often than not you can get an IDP player at a much cheaper cost versus the offense, right? But you get a little bit of a value break right here at the end of the season, right? Because the regular season's over, the fantasy season's over, you know, the playoffs are starting for the NFL. Then you'll have the Super Bowl, and then it just kind of, you know, and for teams that are not in it, you know, fantasy managers that doesn't, you know, have bad teams, they're not really working it a whole lot, I find. So, you know, if you go at them and you're, hey, well, let's do this deal, and they'll be like, okay, what do you want? And you say, well, you know, if it's something for you and you're not sure about, and you can say, well, I need a linebacker. How about Jermaine Pratt or EJ Speed, and I'll kick you a little something back, or maybe that's enough to make it happen. You know, the point is, don't be afraid to explore all your options. And even if you're one of those that are kind of getting ready to decompress and step away for a little bit this offseason, throw a few offers out there. See what you can do to improve your rosters. And good luck. We will be back next Monday. So send in all your questions, trades, drafts, whatever it is you got going on, you need help with, hit us up. We'll be more than happy to help you out. Now that my work schedule's kind of slid out, or, you know, got more stable, we'll be back to doing this every Monday. And with that, we will be back next Monday. Appreciate y'all for listening. Don't forget to go check out our Patreon. We do a lot of stuff over there, especially for IDP Devi. I'm already starting on my 2024 IDP Devi rankings. There's some articles, NFL stuff, high school stuff. You don't have to pay. for all of it. Some of it's free, some of it's not. So just go check out and see what's best for you. We have the IDPNation.com page, which has kind of taken a back burner, but we'll get that going again. And if you have interest in writing, hit me up. Maybe we can work something out and get you started that way too. But thanks for listening. We'll be back next Monday with a brand new episode, and welcome to Black Monday.